1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for blessing us and watching over us and bringing us safely here. Lord, I ask that you would use me tonight. Fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Touch my tongue. Lord, help fill in the notes, Lord. And Lord, just that your will be done. Lord, open up our hearts to what you have to say and let us learn from you. Lord, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you might not have known, but I am a lot of pulpits this morning. Preachers got up and they spoke about something specific. They talked about the president's remarks in Haiti and El Salvador and African nations. And they spent the whole time, you know, talking about that during the sermon time and talking about why it's wrong and different things like that. And you know, maybe you've had a question before at this church. You know, why don't we talk about the current events of things that happen very much? You know, sometimes we talk about them in prayer, but that's about it here at Victory. But, you know, one of the things that we need to remember is when a minister stands behind this desk, this is a special time. And it's a time, we only meet here, you know, a couple times a week just for a short amount of time. It's a special time, but it's for digging into God's Word. And it is for, you know, this Bible is relevant for today. It's relevant for today. It's relevant for today's culture and all this thing. And, you know, when I get up here, I don't want to spend a lot of time on men and women out in this world. I want to spend the time on one man, and that's Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. That's who we focus on. And, you know, I could, like I said, you can get up here and talk about why his comments were wrong and all those things. And you know, some would even say because we kind of went along our normal business this morning and preached a message on the gospel and faith and things like that, a wonderful message this morning, they would say, well, you're just not being compassionate, or you're not, or you're going along with it because you didn't say anything or yell at the president this morning behind the pulpit as if he would listen to us anyway. But, you know, one of the things that makes me laugh is that you can look at this church and a lot of us have been to Haiti. And a lot of us have been to El Salvador, so you can't say we're not compassionate. We've been there. We've seen what it looks like. We have seen the extreme poverty. But I'm glad not only did we see the extreme poverty, we saw God's hand at work. And that's what blesses me. So we haven't forgotten them or things like that. But, you know, one thing, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, the president, you know, he made remarks that were, you know, they weren't the best thing to say at all. And, you know, one thing before we go into what I really want to talk about is the Bible talks about the tongue. You know, and we've talked about it recently, but I'll refresh our memories because we need it a lot. James 3:8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. No man. It is an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. And, you know, whenever you hear a celebrity or a president or even ourselves saying something stupid, it just confirms that the Bible is true. We can't tame the tongue ourselves. No man can do it. But as a Christian, we also need to go by James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, that's a commandment to the Christian. That's something that we need to take more time listening, and we need to slow down and think about what we say before we say it. And the same thing is if you're writing an email, the same thing if you're writing a text or even on Facebook. I'm telling you what, if you're on Facebook very long, you realize people don't slow down to think about what they type before they type it on there. They just write what's at the top of their head, and I'm like, my goodness, if that's what's on the top of your head, you need to walk away from the keyboard. That's what I'm saying. That's another matter. But, you know, one of the things is, you know, you can talk about cleaning up speech to a non-Christian and say, well, maybe you should talk a little more politically correctly or things like that. But, you know, I lump that in the same category as any of the other rules you were talking about, getting someone to act a little better, getting someone to quit bad habits and gain some good habits and things like that. You know, we're not saved by works. And I don't want to get somebody some false assurance of salvation that just because they talk right, they act right, they look right, they go to the right place at the right time, and they sit in our pew and know how to sing out of the hymn book and everything else, that's not enough. In fact, the problem is we've got a lot of people deceived thinking that's good enough. It's not. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, here's the thing that, you know, I want to look at. You know, because maybe you will get encountered by somebody talking about the president. Maybe not. Or maybe you thought about it. Or things like that. But you know what I want to look at? I want to look at what the Bible really says about the Christian and government. How about that tonight? How about we look at that? Let's see what the Bible really says. Because a lot of times you get into these conversations and Facebook and everything else, and it can be amongst Christians, and I don't see a single Bible verse in all that. But a lot of I think and this and that, and this is right and this is wrong and everything else. I'm telling you what, people need to get in the Bible more, and that'll help you out with what there is. But the passage that we read in 2 Timothy 2, it deals with that. First, in verse 1, Paul is saying that we are to pray for all men. He says that in the beginning of verse 1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He doesn't give any exclusions there. He doesn't give any limitations. He didn't say the men you like and not the ones that you don't like or the ones that agree with you or disagree or anything like that. He says, we need to be praying for all men. That's hard. That means enemies and friends. That means loved ones and ones that you can't stand. That means the ones at work that are good to you and will let you borrow money when you forget your lunch money. And then the ones you want to try to avoid in the hallway. It's all of them. He's talking about all of them together. And he says, all men. Then he goes on in verse 2 and he says, you are to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Again, I don't see any exclusions there. I don't see any limitations. It doesn't say whether they talk politely. It doesn't say whether they're a Republican or Democrat or anything like that. You know, one of the problems I think that has hit the church in the United States is that we have been blessed here in the United States. And our government does not really fight against us. We act like they do, but in the United States, our biggest thing is we think about, we're in persecution if they threaten to take away our tax exemption, or we're really being persecuted if we put a permit into the city to build a new building or something like that, and they drag their feet on it. Let me tell you something, that's not real persecution. That's a hindrance. That's something that'll aggravate you. But real persecution is what you see in the Bible. Remember, Jesus Christ was committed to be executed at the cross by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Remember, John the Baptist was beheaded by King Herod, and all the apostles except for John were martyred. That's real persecution right there. Here in the United States, we have been blessed. And the problem is we look at this and we think, you know, what? We just kind of get coddled, because I guarantee if the government told us you are not allowed to teach in the name of Jesus, you're not allowed to come in here, I don't know about you, it wouldn't stop me. In fact, it might make me want to do it even more. We'd have to do it in secret. We'd have to do things like that. But I'd say there is no government telling me no. But the problem is when they lay the hands off, then we start to get complacent. That's where the United States is. We think persecution is if somebody doesn't like us at work, or if we have a Bible or praying, or someone gets offended by it. A lot of times that's just us being uncomfortable. I'm here to tell you, as a Christian, we're to be set apart from the world. We're to be different from the world. That means when you are living a Christian life and you're in the world, there's going to be uncomfort on both sides. That's not a bad thing. You know what's even amazing is, even if the government, even if the leader, the king, the president, whatever, is corrupt, we still have to pray for him. I don't see the exclusion. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul is writing this book, writing this letter to Timothy, and in this time, Rome was under Nero's control. He was the leader. In fact, he is one of the most evil, wicked leaders when it comes to persecuting Christians. He caused thousands upon thousands of Christians to be murdered in gruesome ways. And in fact, he would later take Paul's life. And here is Paul saying, this man, you need to pray for him. You need to pray for Nero. And Paul's going to be dead by him later. That's powerful, isn't it? He's saying we may not like their decisions, but he says you need to pray, and not only pray, but intercede for the leaders. That's what the Bible says, right? That may not be what is popular out here. You know, we've got some Christians that are saying, well, if I don't like who's in the White House, I'm just going to talk down on them. He's saying get on your knees and pray for them. Amen. But then he tells us at the verse 2 at the end what the purpose is. He says, for kings and all that are in authority, listen to this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So he is saying, listen, even though Nero is the crazy tyrant that he is, and there are leaders that are hostile to Christians, Paul is saying we need to pray for them so we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. What he is saying is our prayer is that we can live our Christian life in peace, not the real persecution that we're talking about. And he is saying, listen, our prayer doesn't need to be focused on lessening the taxes, and our prayer doesn't need to be focusing on things like that, but it needs to be focusing on how we can live our life as a Christian. That's what he is saying. Some people are so, they're like, man, I'm going to pray that Trump gives up his Twitter account so we don't have to read all these things. But what Paul is saying, you need to pray, and look what he says, that we may lead. He's saying, you pray for the leaders so that we can do what we need to do. Does that make sense? He's saying, listen, it's for us. You know, one of the things that may shock a lot of churches, and if I preach this in a lot of churches, they might stop me and throw me out of here. But do you realize I can't find in this Bible where God ever commanded a government to take care of the poor? You know what I find? He called on the church. Amen. To take care of the poor and the oppressed, the widows, right? Yeah. It's the church's duty. That's what he commanded. So one thing we need to remember, that if the government helps the poor, that's fine. That's all right. But if one day they decide to stop doing it, what do we get mad at? We get mad at the government, right? What did I tell you? Whose responsibility is it? If they help us, fine. If they quit helping us, it's still our duty. Does that make sense? I think a lot of times we've tried to shift everything to the government, and it's really the church's responsibility, right? The same thing is with the gospel. This is an easy one. Let me give you an example of something. Let's just do a hypothetical. Let's say the Highland Schools decided next school year that they're going to give every student a Bible, and that they're going to tell the plan of the gospel of Jesus Christ to every single student every morning through the whole school year. Wouldn't that be amazing? Praise God. Now what if at the end of the year they decided we're done with that? We don't want to do it anymore. Wouldn't we be in an uproar? Let me ask you this question. Whose job is it to get the gospel out? It's our job. It's our job. If they help us with it, praise God. If they don't, it's still our duty. Does that make sense? I think some people are getting so bent out of shape about what the government's doing and not doing, and I don't see where Paul is saying you need to pray for the kings, pray for those in authority that they'll change their mind and they'll do what we've been called to do as a church. That's not what it says. It says you pray that they allow us to do what God wants us to do. That's what we need. It changes everything. And then why? He even tells us why we need to do that. Verses 3 and 4. He says in verse 3, it's good, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And then he goes, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He is saying, listen, that it is God's will that all men would be saved. You see what he's saying? He's starting to build on his case here. He's saying, you pray for all men. You pray for those in authority. So that way we can lead a peaceful Christian life. That way we can do what God wants us to. Why? Because it's God's will. That's what he wants to happen. And why does he want it to happen? So that all men have the potential to know Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. That every man has the opportunity for salvation. And the only way that everyone can have the opportunity for salvation is if God's people get the gospel out there. And what Paul is saying is, don't focus on the laws, don't focus on the government. You focus on getting you out there and doing it, and you pray that the government doesn't decide to stop you. That's what he's saying. It's God's will. You know what I hear? Some people, this is their thing. They're saying, well, we'll just go anarchist, or we'll just rebel against the government, or civil disobedience, or whatever you want to call it. We'll fight against them. You know, there's a couple other verses that I found. Titus 3:1. Listen to this. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Listen, to obey magistrates and to be ready to every good work. That sounds about like what we're reading right here, isn't it? He's saying you obey. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors as unto them that are sent for him by the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You realize what the Bible's saying? Anarchy does not help the spread of the gospel. Rebelling against the government does not. That's why we have to follow the laws that our government sets up. He's saying you do that. And twice he mentions specifically, it is God's will that you do that. Whew. I'm glad we're preaching this around tax time. But he's saying, I want you to be obedient to the government. And you pray for that peaceable life so that all men could be saved. And that'll help us to spread the gospel. You know, I only found one instance where it really talks about rebelling against the government. One time. One instance is what I saw. You remember where Acts chapter 5, the high priest commanded Peter and the other apostles not to teach in the name of Jesus. Remember that? And Peter's answer, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. The only time I see them rebelling against the government is when the government said, stop proclaiming the gospel. And that's when Peter said, we're obeying God instead of men. But that's it. That's it. I know that's hard to believe. I know that today's culture is wanting to tell you to picket and do all kinds of things and get so incredibly involved in the political process so that way we can save the world. I am here to tell you, even if every law was rewritten, even if we had the best men and women of God in Congress, even if we did all of those things, it still takes salvation to change this world. It still takes, we talk about it, it still takes revival. It still takes the Holy Spirit. which comes through prayer. That's what it's going to take to change America. We got to quit trying to fix it from the government. That's like trying to change a person from the outside in. We need to change them from the inside out. And here's the news flash. You and I can't do it. We can give them the truth, then it takes the Holy Spirit to do it. I am here to tell you, we are trying to fix situations over and over again in people's lives that are a mess and everything else. We're trying to wrangle things around and try to tweak it, try to strong arm, try to convince them. All those things are for naught. I am here to tell you, unless the Holy Spirit gets through, unless God gets through to them, unless the truth of the Bible gets through, it's all worthless. You can have the best rules and everything, the best intentions, but that's what we need to pray for. We need to say, God, this is not going to work through me. It's not going to work through the government. It's not going to work through any of those things, but it will work on your word and your promises and your power. And we need to pray that we can keep doing it. Just like we need to pray to give us the strength, God, pray that the government never tells us to quit speaking in His name. Let us keep on going. And He keeps on going. He's building on it even further. And He says, well, I've already given it away. It's for the gospel. Verse 5, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's saying, this is what I want you to tell, is that Jesus Christ, that's the one thing. And then who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He is saying, listen, this is the truth that needs to get out. And He's saying our prayer is to be able to continue to do that. And then He says, Paul talks about, he says, here's my role in all of this. Verse 7, I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity or truth. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm an apostle and I'm doing that work, spreading Jesus Christ out to the Gentiles because that's where He sent me. But you and I have our own verse 7. We have our own verse 7. Whereas God's put me here in this place, in this job, in this family, in this friends, at this time. I like Esther. Remember, Mordecai tells Esther, for such a time as this, that's why I've done that. This is why you're here. It's to do what God wants. And what God wants is the gospel to get out. We talk about it over and over, but sometimes we have to remember. You realize something? You and I can't change the leaders. We can't change their heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But you know what? Our part is to keep on spreading the gospel and pray that we can keep doing it and not faint and not quit, but keep going on. You know, when I looked at that and dug into it, there were parts in there that surprised me because I just have gotten in the same mind of this culture. Our job is to stand up and to picket and to butt heads and to yell and to scream and everything else. Not saying that I would do that, but that's what this culture is saying. That's not what Paul said. He said, that's not even God's will. You know what His will is? He said, listen, when you obey this government and preach Jesus Christ, He said, it makes a difference. It makes a difference out here. He said anyone can butt heads and say they're wrong and everything else. But what about us that say, you know what? We'll live under your rule. Even if it's Nero, we'll pray for you. And we'll keep preaching Jesus Christ and we'll keep doing what we're doing. I'm amazed that Paul told them to do this. Can you imagine the shock in their face as they're reading this? Timothy and those at the church are reading it. Pray for the king. Him? Paul, he's already locked you up. You're out now, but you're about ready to go back in, and that's it. You want us to pray for him? God's saying, yeah. Yeah. Everyone. Every president. Every governor. Every leader. He's saying, I want you to pray for them. I think we've done that a lot as a church, but I'm glad we know why. It's so that we can keep doing what we need to do. keep doing it. I don't know if our government will be as nice as they've been for a long time. It may get to a point where we face true persecution like them around the world. But you know what? The same preparation for that is the same thing we talk about for everything. Is the more you get this in your heart, the more you live by it, the more your faith increases, the more you rely on God in prayer and figure out who He really is and what He wants for you, all of those things become easier. That's the only way it can be done. If you're riding the fence, if you're wishy-washy, if you're not dedicated, if you're just on and off all the time and real persecution hits, we won't see you again. Why? Because it'll be easier just to fade back out in this world. Oh, Mike, how do you know that? Because there were only 3 Hebrew children, not 30,000, right? That were thrown in the furnace that day. 3. It's easier to bow and to go out into this world, but I'm telling you what, I don't know if we'll face any of that. We may live our lives like we are now, easy. But you know what the devil will do? He'll try to lull you to sleep. Oh, everything's fine. You don't need to pray for that. You don't need to worry about those things. You know what? I'm glad we're busy about the Lord's business. I'm glad we believe in prayer here. And I'm glad we're doing what God wants us to do. You know, like I said, this year, I want us to focus on prayer. One of the things we need to pray for is our leaders. And not to change all the laws and everything else. We need to pray that we can keep doing what we're doing. And God, give us the strength to keep doing it. And not expect the government to do what You've called us to do. I don't expect our government to preach the gospel tomorrow. But I need to pray to God that they stay out of the way. Because you know they could get in the way very easily. Like I've told you, we put the sermons on the internet. They could cut that off. They could come in here and say, "You're done. This building's ours." But God's, if He wants us to pray, that means He's listening. And He's interceding. Because I tell you what, the day the church quits praying, that will happen. I'm glad. I'm glad He's put a hedge around us. I'm glad He's put us right where we are. This is an amazing country that we live in. Sure, they do things we don't like from time to time. Every place is like that. But I'm glad we can freely get the gospel out. But let's, this year, just remind ourselves that's our job. It's our job. Everybody stand. God is... What's amazing is we say it all the time, but we don't have to guess what God expects of us. But it's really true. All you got to do is dig into His Word. It's there. It's there. What He expects, what to do when things happen, where to go, what to say. It's all in there. And what to pray. I'm glad He's laid it out. It's not a big question mark. He doesn't have a whole bunch of big questions. You know what He's got? He's got, "Here's what you need to do. And I'll help you do it. And you'll be blessed by it. And I'll give the increase." I'm glad our God works that way. She sings, if you need to come and pray, I urge you to do that.